amazing love. Do you know that God loves you, that He has a special plan for your life through His Word and by His Spirit? This program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
God's amazing love. Are you a believer? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Have you given Him your heart? Have you laid down everything you think is important in your life and have given God complete control over your life? Have you laid down your life and picked up His life? Well, we know that His life is eternal and my life is temporal. Every day I get a little bit older and seem a little bit creakier. But the life-given Spirit within me is an eternal Spirit that will quicken my body unto life. To have God's Holy Spirit living within us as an active force, not latent, not resting, not sleeping, but dead to self and alive in Christ. I want to be fully alive. Do you want to be fully alive? Well, I can only achieve that as I'm willing to lay down my life and pick up His, as I'm hid in Christ, that I no longer live, but Christ still lives within me. And I believe that's a process. As we walk towards the light, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And as I walk towards Him, trusting that He loves me, that He cares about me, that sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is taking place within me. And as I allow the power of God to permeate my being, there's an energy force that takes place. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because it is the Holy Spirit at work within me. Not the me in me, but the Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I know that God wants to strengthen His people. He's called us to be warriors. He loves us as little children, but His desire and plan is not that we should stay little children, but that we should grow from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word. That we would have spiritual muscles, that we would be able to take our place in the realms of spiritual warfare and bind and loose, as He has called us to bind and loose, to bind the powers of darkness and loose that which is good, to set the captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted, to do the works of the kingdom. And this can only happen in our lives as we recognize who we are in Christ, and as we allow ourselves to be used by the Holy Spirit. Or maybe it's more important that we know who He is within us. Because He is the great I Am, the everlasting Father. Jesus tells us if we see Him, we see the Father. And that no man can come to the Father except through Him. It's only through salvation that we can come to the Father of the universe, the King of Kings. I must give up all that I might have all. I must lay down all that I might pick up all. It's an upside down way of thinking, but it is truly right side up in the kingdom. That which we don't see is more real than that which we do see. There are things in nature that we do not see with the naked eye, but they are very powerful forces. We do not see germs, but they are real. We do not see electricity, but it is very real. We do not see an atom, but it is very real. We do not see sound waves, but they are very real. We have faith in those things. We do not see God, but we know He is a reality. How can we look around and see the mountains and see the faces of babies and see the grass and see the snow and see the thunderstorms and see the galaxies and say there is no God. Only a fool would do that. As we read in Romans 1, how can man look around and say there is no God? Reading from Romans 1st chapter 18th verse, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. When we worship things that God has created, when we worship man, we become hedonistic. We have no place. Our mind becomes dark. Our decisions become foolish. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and when we lose the fear of God, we make foolish decisions. We make a God out of what we can see, out of what we can touch, and we justify our bad behavior, and we say it's for the good of mankind, and we cover it over and we plate it with gold and even make it holy at times. We make God in our own image for our convenience. And then we set in judgment of who he is. If there was really a God, why do these things happen in the world so surely? We shall do something about this. If you don't want a child, kill it. If you don't want to live, kill yourself. That's hedonism. That's a destruction of a civilization. Man doing his thing, playing God. The word tells us that the wages of sin are death. Sin has pleasure for a season, but judgment time comes. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. We must choose to turn back to God and what he says in his word and not what we think. Even with the abortion issue, I hear Christians many times saying, well, I cannot do that, but you do what pleases you or what's convenient for you. What a cop-out. Stand for righteousness. We need to say what God's word says. Everyone has free will to do as they choose, but we cannot compromise God's word as being convenient or inconvenient. God is a holy God. And when we spill innocent blood, we will stand in judgment. When we encourage others to do so, we will incur judgment. Man is accountable before God for all his actions, his ways, and his words. God is a merciful God. He is filled with compassion and mercy. His mercy is new every morning. He loves us with an amazing love. He loves us so much, he made us in his image and likeness. He has given us power to rule and reign with him, to be priests unto him. But a priest, before he could go into the holy place, had to be cleansed. He had to go in holy. And if he wasn't holy, if he was within sin, when he went into the Holy of Holies, He died there. Let us not be guilty of the sin of presumption, too, thinking that God agrees with our ways lest we die in the wilderness. God wants to give his people life. He wants to give us power. He wants to give us joy. He wants to give us peace. He wants us to walk on the high places and be filled with glory. But we cannot do this when we try to make God into our image. God is God. But you, O Lord, to worship him and worship him alone and not the things of this world that are slowly degenerating, rusting, we're losing out of fashion. Even degrees, we can worship education and then find ourselves very disillusioned when we thought that which would be to the key to success is not. To have the wisdom of God, he gives us discernment. He gives us knowledge. He gives us the information when we need it, in a supernatural way. We're to study ourselves to be approved by God. We're to be fit workmen for his kingdom, not lacking in any truth. So we need to concentrate on the word of God. And surely he would not have his people ignorant. He wants us educated. He wants us walking in the knowledge of the gifting that he's given us. Each one of us have a special gifting from God. And surely if God has called us to be in a profession, to be a lawyer, a doctor, to work in different fields that require research and teachers, musicians. We're to educate ourselves in the gifting that God has given to us, but not to see that as an end, only as a tool, only as a gift from God to bring Him glory. There is a tendency to worship what we can see, because we walk this earth. If I can see it, I can feel it. There is more of a reality there, even though I know things in the invisible realm are just as real because they work. Electricity does work. But there's a tendency to worship other people, to allow ourselves to be as God. What I think, what I want, me, self, becomes the center of my universe. And when that happens, I am in deep trouble. When we do not follow the commandments of God to worship the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and our whole soul and our neighbor as ourself, it sums up all the commandments. To love Him. Otherwise, we're turned over to a darkness in our mind and we become foolish. That's what the book of Romans tells us. Romans 1 tells us that we're turned over to a depraved mind. And we see all kinds of unclean behavior happening in our society. Filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, gossipers, slanderers of God, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient, to parents without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, sexuality twisted, men lusting after men, women after women, all because they and we have not acknowledged God to be who He is. And so we make excuses up for our sinfulness and whatever feels good at the moment to do that thing. The word tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And His arms are open wide to the repentant sinner to speak the truth, to know the truth, to acknowledge the truth that in ourselves dwells no good thing, that we're all sinners. And when we break the commandments of God, surely we pay that debt. But God wants to do that work in our lives by the power of His amazing love. He wants to set His people free and those that do not know Him, that our thoughts would be His thoughts through the renewing of our minds by the washing of the water, by His word, and taking out false information that we have stored, that we have accepted as truth and replacing it with His word. Civilizations come and they fall because of unrighteousness. God will bless those that are righteous. And the others are living under a curse. And although the downfall doesn't happen right away, it's only in the making. It may take years to come. But judgment day comes. And the Lord would say, if my people who are called by my name, if we would come and pray and repent, He'll turn away that judgment. He'll have mercy on us. He has called us to bring glory to His name. He has such wonderful things for man. If we will just acknowledge Him for who He is, that He is God, that He's not a man that He should lie, that His judgments are true, His ways are right. The book of Proverbs tells us so many wonderful things on how to spend our money, how we can live a pure sex life, what are the wages of sin, how to live with one another, and what will happen when we speak wrong words. the wisdom of keeping silent, the wisdom of staying away from alcohol, not because God says it as a judgment, but to keep you and I from poverty, to keep our children from the curse, so that we might enter the blessings of Abraham. They're there for us, but we need to turn away from the spirit of this world that we might enter his kingdom. We need to come out of Egypt.
What is man that you're mindful of him? Yet you died and you rose again to conquer death, to conquer sin, to give us life that will never end. If we speak your name, sing your name, praise your name, and call upon your name. Speak your name, sing your name, praise your name, call upon your name. Who am I that you think of me? Yet you've made way for me to see. I can conquer death, I can conquer sin, I can have a life that will never end. And I speak your name, sing your name, praise your name, and call upon your name. Speak your name, sing your name, praise your name, and call upon your name. Speak your name, sing your name, praise your name, and call upon your name.
Reading from Ephesians 2nd chapter, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing richness of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Oh, to work in the work that God has before the foundation of the world, that which he has implanted within us. In computer talk, I believe it would be called software. The giftings, the calling. Each one of us are special unto him. And yet we're created in his image and likeness. So different, but yet so perfect in our gifting. To be a gift to the body of Christ, to be a gift to the world, to reflect the glory of God. What a calling. Not taking glory unto ourselves, but reflecting who he is to the world. We know that God's blessings are on those who are obedient. And we all have or had high places in our life where we can honor God in one place and yet at the same time self is being worshipped. What we want or someone else or something is giving an honor that it should not have. And we see through history how God blessed the kings that were obedient to him. Hezekiah, he repaired and opened the temple and put away the altars and idols set up by his father Ahaz. Judah is spared destruction by Assyria because of his righteousness. The land will prosper when our leaders are righteous, but our families will prosper when we are righteous. God is looking for a people that he can bless. Jehoshaphat, he brought in a great revival and took great pride in the ways of the Lord. He overthrew idols, taught God's word, and taught people to trust in God before battle. God has great victory for us because of his amazing love. We are more than conquerors. Trust in him. Ask him to reveal the high places. God bless you. I know he loves you.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazinglovministries.org.